Yep, what's going on with you? Besides this exciting interview we're about to do.
You're making me thirsty, so let me take a sip of water.
Okay, now, how are we going to do these three things that I need to correct? You're just going to...
Are you referring to follow-up from our discussion?
Yes, follow-up from our previous discussion.
Well, if you've got a list there, let's, at the top of this episode, go through your follow-up.
Okay. So I wanted to correct that your dad's third tour in Vietnam was actually in Ubon, Thailand, not Da Nang, Thailand. And that was after we left, after he left Norfolk.
And is that spelled U-B-O-N?
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, Da Nang is D-A-N-A-N-G. And the other thing, this is not a correction, this is just a statement that I whined about not getting to go to Holland as an assignment because I was so excited about going to Europe and not at all excited about going to Holloman Air Force Base in the middle of the desert and the white sands and the middle of nowhere, I might add. But anyway, it turned out to be one of our favorite assignments. We made some of the best friends we've ever made. And it was a time when I fell in love with New Mexico and the land of enchantment, which I still have. So I would say that. And then you said you weren't excited about being close to your family. Mom and dad had already moved back to Fairhope at that point. So they were not in El Paso.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So those
did
were.
Did you have any connection to El Paso when you were at Holloman? Like, was it where you went to go to the big stores or anything? Or was that not the thing?
I knew Richard's wife's future wife's family, the Von Clausewitzes. Yeah, of course, I knew some people still there, but we did not get down to El Paso very much. Once you get, you know, settled in and do, like where you're going to be.
Yeah.
We spent more time going to Cloudcroft and Santa Fe and, you know, experiencing New Mexico because there's, there's a lot to experience there. So.
Yeah, on a side note, did you see that, I believe it was last year, White Sands was escalated from a national monument to a national park?
No. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. White Sands is, well, that whole area, you know, the Oregon Mountains, the White Sands, just New Mexico is just beautiful.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting in the context of the gypsum. It's the largest gypsum deposit in the world. And gypsum has become so valuable because it's used in drywall and it's got so many. It's one of the most, well, I don't know about the most, but it's a super important industrial mineral. And so the fact that White Sands is off limits is super interesting.
Is a super good thing, actually.
And it's a good thing. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And there's a whole ton of, as you might imagine, a whole ton of flora and fauna that are endemic to White Sands, which I just learned what the word, or I guess I kind of knew, but did not really know. It's one of those words where I always wonder what it means, endemic. Do you know what it means?
Doesn't it mean specific to that area?
Yeah, it means that those are the only place in the world where they live.
Yeah, yeah. Is it because of the composition of the gypsum soil or?
Well, and the evolving, like lizards, a bunch of the lizards are what they call bleached. So they're like a white version of a lizard that would be somewhere else. And then
so
like
moths. Camouflaged.
Yeah, exactly. And moths, like 45 of the 50 are moths, I think. And then a bunch of like flowers and plants and stuff too that have evolved to be hardy in that environment. So
like the saguaro cactus in Arizona, you know, they won't let those out of there.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's a little bit of a tangent. Holloman turned out to be a great thing is what you're saying.
It did. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the dove and quail hunting was fabulous, which made your father very happy.
And the
that every day, of course, but we got to do some really special stuff that other people don't get to do because your dad was in the military. We were allowed into the Trinity site, you know, where they did the test for the first atomic nuclear bombs. And it's like a preserve. I mean, it's totally
There's
closed off.
they allow tourists in there twice a year right now. You can get on a bus and go in there, but it's you have to do it way ahead of time. Richard always talks about it, and I've always wanted to make it happen, but haven't done it yet.
Well, you know, we just took our ID cards, and the guard let us in, and we took the Jeep and went quail hunting all afternoon with Jake and Jones.
Wow. Did you see any of the weird rocks or anything, or three-headed doves?
Well, we saw the site, which is still like just a big circle with nothing, you know, nothing there. But no, we were too involved in getting to the hunting site. So, because around it is just like desert, like around El Paso.
And, yeah.
You know, just heavy vegetated desert vegetation. So
there's an element there that's called Trinitium or something like that.
Trinitium,
that never existed before. That's the only place
the bomb caused. Yeah.
Speaking of endemic, I guess that's an endemic element.
Yeah, I guess. Scary.
So does that catch us up on our follow-up from last week?
On your birth, yes.
Yeah. I was trying to think if I had any follow-up. I didn't make a list. I was going to do a little bit more research into pictures of that apartment, but couldn't find anything. So I'm going to just go with the confidence that we found the correct apartment and move on. So shall we move forward to, let's see, what would it be, October of 1974 in Perry County, Alabama?
Yeah.
You want to set the scene? Or no? Well, okay. I was in Perry, or no. Never mind. I'm sorry. I was jumping ahead to Laura's. So we were all together, or you and I and Grandma and Granddad were together at Fairhope.
Correct. Are we starting?
We're starting.
Okay. So, yeah, when your dad got transferred to Ubon and I knew he was going to be gone for a year, it had bugged me forever that I had not finished my college degree and was short about two semesters. And so I talked to Mom and Dad and I was like, you know, what do you think about Ben and me coming to Fairhope for the year? And you had a real issue with asthma at the time and couldn't be in preschool or anything. And I wanted to know that you were in a safe place every day if I had to go to school. So they were absolutely ecstatic. They were like, are you kidding? We've been trying to get you to come home every time Bill's gone to Vietnam. So anyway, I looked into colleges around there, and the only one really that was close enough that seemed viable was Judson College, which was a private Baptist girls' school at the time in Marion, Alabama, which is about 25 or 30 miles from Fairhope. And I applied and got accepted, and we moved to Fairhope. I'm trying to remember what month that was, but it must have been maybe in the spring of 70. Well, I can't remember. I'd have to look that up. But anyway, of course, it was obviously 10 months before Billy was born. Anyway, your dad and I had been trying to get pregnant for about 3 years and had not had any luck. And I was like, well, I'm just going to finish college. So did that, got signed up. Your dad stopped by for a surprise visit on his way to Vietnam. And of course, I got pregnant. So, but didn't
know
that.
Where was he coming from?
He was coming from training somewhere. He had to go to a 3 month school. And it could have been in Tampa, which seemed to be where he always went for, you know, training. But anyway, he stopped by Fairhope and on his way. Anyway, so I got signed up for school. And as it turned out, because Judson was a religious school and I had never taken any religious courses, I ended up having to take 21 hours for both semesters, including upper level religion courses, which turned out to be a real challenge for me. All I can say is thank goodness I had Mom there. As you know, who, as Granddad said, why would I need to take a Bible course? I've got Francis right here. Anyway, so that, I had to write some serious papers on things I knew nothing about. But anyway, Mom was a great help with that. And so I think I went to school three times a week I left at like 6:30 or 7 in the morning, had an early class, and got home about 3. So you and Mom became fast buddies, of course. Not that you already weren't. Dad was still working at the bank, I think. Granddad was working at the bank. So you and Mom and Lou did everything together and had a wonderful time. I was worried about you being a burden. I don't know why, because you were the perfect child. But anyway, I guess it's just what mothers do. But anyway, you and Mom and Lou spent your days happily together. And then I was home on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we had a playroom set up for you up on the landing of the second floor at Fairhope, with that creative playthings slide and a bunch of Legos and other stuff that you could play out there when the weather wasn't bad, because of course the house was not centrally heated and cooled. But we had a great time. And so then, as the pregnancy wore on, we had the summer off. We went to the beach. We stayed at Babe and Suzelle's house, I think, for a couple of weeks that summer, and came back and started fall semester. And in October, Billy, I thought, was due in September, but like you and Laura too, you all ended up being 2 or 3 weeks late. Not sure whether that was miscalculation. They didn't have the tools that they have now to calculate, you know, the birth of a baby. And but I felt fine. Everything was good. So right before Billy was born, they were having an auction at the church. And I'm sure you'll remember Virgil Pino, who was the Presbyterian minister in Uniontown, and a great friend of, well, everybody in Uniontown, but including Mom and Dad.
Yeah, he married Richard and Jan and Ben and, or not Ben and Cam,
that's
Ben
right.
And Cherie.
That's right. That's right.
And the other thing I remember about him is, do you remember the fifth Sundays in Uniontown, and how they would, the four different churches would
all go to one
Sunday,
church.
They would all go to one church on the fifth Sunday, and it would rotate around. I always thought that was cool for some reason,
imagine that happening today, right?
Well, over the course of all those summers, I can only remember like 2 or 3 of those that I was actually there for, but it was always a weird and kind of exciting in a weird way. Although, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it was, you know, because the Rankins always went to the Presbyterian church. So when we had fifth Sunday, we always got to see all of our friends that went to other churches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
yeah. So where do you think Virgil Pino was from originally?
I don't know.
I don't either.
He was one of the early, like, you know, one of the first international seeming people that I know in my life. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm guessing because of his stature and his features and his color that he may have been from South America somewhere. But I don't know. I just thought about that the other night when I was thinking about this interview we were going to do. But anyway, he and his wife, Pat, they were such great people. And anyway, so they were having, every year they had a church auction on, I think it was the second Saturday of October. And so we went, and like I needed another antique, right? They had a cool oak ice box for sale, which I think is now on Billy's front porch. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't resist it, so I bought it. And when the auction was over, they said, how are you, you know, they brought it over to the car, I think, and then I lifted it up and put it in the back of the station wagon, and Virgil Pino walked around the corner and he was like, stop, you can't do that, you can't lift that up, you're pregnant. I was like, well, I'm past you, and I hope this makes this baby ready to be born tonight.
You're like, talking about the one that's like knee height that we used to put our Christmas tree in, right?
The big one that opens in the top, and it's got a door in the bottom. You know, you put the block of ice in the top. Anyway,
wow.
Actually, it's in the guest room. It was in the guest room at Billy and Anna's. And yeah, you're right. He's got the little one out on the front porch, but. So that didn't work. So in the meantime, Ben Westbrook was also there visiting, and you were having a great time with him. And he was like, I'm not leaving until this baby's born. he was heading back to El Paso, I think, not to go back to school. He would have been finished with school, but maybe it was one of those years he was taking off before he started medical school. And so the night of the 19th of October, Ben and I, your uncle Ben and I, were playing Scrabble on the beds there, and you were watching, and it got into quite a contentious game that seemed to be lasting for hours. And I do remember that two of the names I made on the Scrabble board were boy and baby. And as it turned out, I went into labor that night. My water broke. I woke up Ben, Uncle Ben, and said, "My water just broke. Who's taking me to the hospital? You or mom and dad or dad? Who's going to take me to the hospital?" We hadn't even talked about that. And he was like, "I'll go wake up mom and dad." And so he did. And dad was like, granddad said, I'll take her. Grandmom and I'll take her to the hospital if you'll stay here with Ben, you." And so dad got up and went in to shave, and your uncle Ben said, "Dad, what are you doing? Fran is in labor. You don't need to shave. Just take her to the hospital." Granddad turned around and he was like, "I've done this 5 times before. Trust me, we've got time." So anyway.
And continue to shave.
And continue to shave. And get cleaned up and put on fresh clothing, right?
Of course.
Put
on his shoes, put on his shoes first and then his pants, like I remember.
Yeah. And then mom, of course, threw on some clothes and was like, "Let's get out of here. We got to drive all the way to Selma," which was like a 45 minute drive.
I have a question before you continue. How old was Ben at this time? He was out of college. He had graduated from UTEP and had not gone to medical school yet.
He was 22.
22. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so he must have just graduated from college that year.
Yeah.
And he was taking a year off to go skiing and whatever.
Yeah.
Before he decided what he wanted to do. So, and he was headed back. He was actually, I think, headed back to Colorado, where he had a job in one of the ski towns. But anyway, so we get in the car. It's a gorgeous night. First frost of the season. It's chilly. There's a full moon. Remember those nights at Fairhope when you could see a zillion stars? It was like that.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful night. Because there were no lights for 50 miles, right?
Yeah, yeah. Are we talking like 10 o'clock or midnight or what's our...
Oh, no. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. 2:30 in the morning. We get to the hospital, Vaughn Memorial Hospital in Selma, and they check me in and put me in a room, and they say the doctor will be here in about 15 minutes, and he gets here and Billy's born. It's a good thing. It's a good thing dad finished shaving is all I can say.
Wow.
it was quick. Yeah. They didn't even have time to give me anesthesia or anything. So yeah, Billy was born, and it was an easy delivery, and he weighed 7 pounds, something. I can't remember exactly, similar to what you weighed. And so they left me there. He was born at 6:32 in the morning. And they said they were going to go home and be sure you were okay and check with Ben, and then they'd all be back later. So they came back later in the afternoon and brought Lou with them. And of course, at the time, no one was allowed in the delivery room. I mean, in the hospital, except the father and the grandparents. So Lou and you could not come in, so she held you window outside.
Okay, I don't remember that, but I remember being in the parking lot there, and like the drive there that day, I feel like.
Yeah, they had some kind of tall windows. I don't know what she stood on, but she held you up to the window and you looked over and saw me holding Billy, saw your little brother. And yeah, so later I said to Lou, "So what do you think? What do you think about that sweet baby," or something like that? She said, "Miss Frances, that ain't no baby. That's a man child," which I had never heard before, which I thought was hysterical. Anyway, of course, Billy was bald as a billiard. He had a little red fuzz on the top of his head, but that was about it. So yeah, we were in the hospital, I think 1 or 2 days, and then came home. And And yeah, it was, I went back to school the next, like 3 days later, which was brutal. I took Billy with me in a little baby carrier and nursed him, which I'm sure was the first time ever at the private Baptist girls school. but they didn't kick me out. So did that. And then once I stopped nursing him, I left him at home, and Lou and you and Mom cared for him while I was going to school trying to finish. But yeah, it was kind of an easy birth with a lot of help, which I realize now I had no idea how good I had it with Mom and Granddad and Mom and Dad and Lou there to take care. And I think your uncle Ben stayed a couple of extra days, and then he headed back to El Paso. So he was happy that he had another nice nephew.
And do I feel like I partially from seeing pictures and maybe a little bit from remembering, was Bruce kind of in and out around those days at Fairhope, or was he?
You know what? Everybody was in and out. Bruce and Sambo were in and out. Of course, your dad stopped by that one time, and I think they all went fishing. There was a lot mm-hmm. of in and out that year. I think that's mm-hmm. what Sambo was actually stationed at Eglin Air Force Base. So remember, a bunch of times he would come up and bring a gunny sack full of oysters.
Yes.
And would all eat oysters in the kitchen.
When I have very vivid memories of them all getting ready to hunt and coming back from the hunt.
Yeah.
And, which is interesting, because that's like, I don't like, that's something that at the time and as a young person, I figured would continue through my entire life, but it like basically abruptly stopped when I don't even know when, I guess, but I guess probably around the time Dad died, but I was around that culture a little bit in Montana, but never really went.
You know, I was thinking about that not long ago too, because, well, of course, Bruce and Sambo grew up going hunting every day after they got home from football or basketball practice, living in Missouri, because that's what boys did, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, they had spent the summers in Fonsdale with my grandmother Sally, and that's what they did. They went hunting and fishing, you know, but the culture changed. And of course, when you guys were growing up, we lived in the city in El Paso.
Yeah, that's, well, even in Montana, to a degree, it's not like we lived in a place where we could go in our backyard and go hunting.
Exactly, which in Kansas City we did. And of course, at Fairhope, you know, you could walk down to the lake and shoot birds or turtles or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or snakes. So yeah, just a totally, totally different culture. So anyway, not good or bad, just different. So
mm-mm.
Yeah, but they love it. It was a great thing for brothers to do together. They had a great time doing it, you know.
Yeah, no, it seems, I mean, it's I feel like if I lived in the country, I'd get back into that, but it's but I'm not drawn to seek it out, so it's just, it is, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. I do have a really funny thing that happened at Fairhope that year that I'm going to tell you about that involves you, of course. So your dad was in Thailand, right? And he wrote and said, I think you and Ben can come visit me. And so I talked to the doctor, and he said, well, I'm not, because of your asthma, where we were going to be was kind of out in the jungle. He said, I'm not sure, but you know, go ahead and get him a passport and we'll see how it goes. So we went to the passport office in Montgomery and filled out all the forms and went to a photography place. Things are so different, right? You can go to CVS now and get your passport photo taken.
Made an appointment. You can take your own at home with your iPhone now.
Yeah, went to a photography studio, paid $50 or something, got our passport photos. Went to the federal passport office in Montgomery, and you were really funny when your dad was gone, because at some point you sort of assumed his identity. I would say, Ben, come on, let's go to town, and you'd say, I'm not Ben, I'm Bill. You know, anyway, which is not unusual for children that age, apparently. But anyway, we got to the passport office, and we were in the car, and I said, now, if you want to go see your dad in Thailand, when they ask you what your name is, you need to say Benjamin Ross Bright. And you were like, okay, okay, got it. Okay. So we got in there and they looked at my picture and my application and they said, what is your name? And I said, Francis Westbrook Bright, birthday, I told him. And then he leaned over the counter and he looked at you and he said, young man, what is your name? And I looked at you very sternly. And you said, Benjamin Ross Bright. And so it was in an old building that had those fancy wooden doors with the glass tops with etched names on them, you know? And so I looked at you and smiled. Good job, right? And we got out the door. Before the door even shut, you turned around and yelled at that guy, but my real name is Bill.
And is that why I didn't get to go to Thailand?
Which you did not hear and did not come out to accost us. But anyway, the doctor decided that it was not a good idea for you to go to Thailand because of your asthma and because we were going to be out in the middle of the jungle. And after I got over there, I thoroughly agreed. But anyway, so yeah, that was funny. You were. And then, you know, when we named Billy, the Red Cross called your dad. Of course, we didn't have iPhones or anything back there. So they radioed your dad and he called. It was a one-way radio. So you know, I would say, you know, you've got a great new son and over. And your dad would say, that's awesome and whatever. And I would say, what do you want to name him? Over. And your dad would say, I'm not sure. And so they gave me such grief at the hospital. I was like, well, we need to decide over. Uh-huh. They have to know it. They have to know at the hospital. And well, so he didn't say anything. And so the next day they were pressuring me and I was like, I had told him we're naming him William. So whatever, middle name. Since he was born on grandmom and granddad's wedding anniversary, I named Billy William Westbrook Bright. So William for your dad and Westbrook for grandmom and granddad. So.
Well, okay. So I've got a couple of things there. I want to back up and talk about you and dad's communication at the time. But I also want to make a little side note about, I expect us to have a whole other episode on your Thailand experiences.
Absolutely.
So we don't need to go too deeply into that today. But I feel like I have a memory of a story of us knowing he was going to be named William and me wanting to call him Billy. Am I making that up or is that?
No. And I had said, you know, I had always said to your dad, I said, we're naming him William for you. Because normally, you know, you'd name the first child William. And he was like, no, we're naming him Ben. Because he and my brother Ben were really close. And he said, we're naming him Ben. I was like, okay, that's fine. And then Bill's grandmother had passed away right before you were born and her maiden name was Ross. So we named your middle name Ross, which is you have a great name, Benjamin Ross. Anyway, so yeah, so I named, and so we came home and I said to you, you know, his name is William, but what are we gonna call him? Should we just call him Bill? And you looked up at me in great puzzlement and disgust and said, no, that's my dad's name. And I was like, well, what should we call him? And you just looked up at me instantly and said, Billy. And I was like, okay, that works. We'll call him Billy. So yeah, you named him Ben.
I wonder how I knew that name. Was it the only thing I can think of is my fascination with the Billy Goat's Gruff.
I don't know. Well, the funny part is mom, as an aside, said to me, I'm not sure about that. You know, when he grows up, Billy, he's not going to like that name, Billy. And then the funny thing is I've heard people try to call Billy Bill and him say, my name is Billy. So yeah, his name is Billy, period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
You were not having anybody else have your dad's name. So,
well, it's fascinating how that plays itself forward into William being referred to as William.
Yep.
As opposed, I think they attempted Bill at one point, and Billy was never on the table for that. And well, and now calling Ben. It's It's weird for me to say. I'm still getting used to saying that out loud, as I should say. It's so weird that I've gone this so long in my life without saying my name out loud very often. And now it's I find myself saying it. And Billy even said, he was like, yeah, it's a little weird for us. We've found ourselves calling him Benjamin a lot. So we'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Well, do you remember how we differentiated between you and my brother, Ben? We called him Fishing Uncle Ben.
I do. I was wondering if that was going to come up earlier, but that's because I do. That's some of my, I do remember fishing in those artificial lakes with him on those clay embankments.
Yeah.
All around Uniontown and Fonsdale in those days. And yeah, it's weird the memories you have from that young of an age.
I will say that I can't think of any really horrible decisions I've made in my life, but that year to spend at Fairhope and was one of the best years. That was a great decision. We had such a great time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what else would you have done? Like, what were the other options?
We were in Navy housing at Norfolk, so I would have had to go somewhere. And that's a good question. What would I have done? So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like, can I pat myself on the back?
Don't hurt yourself.
I'll try not to. But anyway, so I did I did graduate from Judson.
Okay, so do you remember what semester it was when you graduated? Like, was
I graduated in December. So Billy was born in
October. Of the year Billy was born?
I graduated in December of 74, cum laude. So
does that, if we back that up, and you were at Judson for two semesters?
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, if we back that up, that would be September.
So you must have arrived.
We moved in the summer. Probably August.
Summer, hold on, the summer of 73?
Yeah.
And then you were there all fall without going to school, and then you started school in January?
Yeah, that must have been it. Yeah. And because your dad came back in April of 74, and we moved to Burke, to Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that picture of me as a approximately three-year-old, or perhaps exactly a three-year-old, on the tractor with dad from Fairhope that we have is from that visit when he was on the way to Vietnam when.
No, I don't think so. Your dad came back for Christmas the year Billy was born. That was the first time he saw Billy.
Okay.
I think that's when it was. And you all went out on the tractor and cut a Christmas tree down.
Yeah, oh, I remember that. That's okay. I was thinking those might be two different. Yeah, but okay. So anyway, it's all that same year, regardless of exactly when that picture was taken.
Yeah,
And that makes sense.
And as you recall, your dad kept saying, "I don't think that was tall enough." And when he got back, it was. Of course, the ceilings at Fairhope were 16 feet tall, but I think the tree he cut down was about 30 feet tall. He kept having mm-hmm. to cut the bottom off.
Well, and didn't it fall on the wrong side of the fence? Am I misremembering that?
No, it did.
We had that flatbed trailer all lined up for the tree to fall on it.
Exactly.
And
it's
I feel like you were there. That were you not out getting?
I
that
was.
Tree
no. Okay. No. Well, yeah, we were all there. You and Dad and I. Yeah. In fact, you and I used to put Billy in that backpack thing, and you and I walked all over. You and I and Billy walked all over Fairhope, out in the fields and everywhere. A lot of days. Well, the days I was off. So, yeah, we were great adventurers. We'd go on. Remember going on the railroad tracks and down to the lake and out mm-hmm. in the fields. Yeah,
yep.
There's nothing like a farm to have places to roam around. So,
yeah, I look back on playing on those railroad tracks, and that's one of the handful of things I look back and think that was really dumb. I really, particularly I can remember being like 13, 15 with Billy out there like once or twice before kind of realizing in the back of my head, you know what? We're not supposed to be playing out here. You look at that ledge with the muddy ditch at the bottom. And it's like, okay, if a train came, I would have to jump into that.
Yeah.
And there was always those stories like
with the water moccasins.
When there's those stories, I believe in Uniontown, there's like five kids killed on the railroad. Like that story that was told on the way back to and from the pool, like on a regular basis when we would cross that train track. Do you remember?
Yeah.
There's yeah. that. And that I feel like it was a recurring thing in my childhood memory was children playing on train tracks and getting killed. And so I look back on those and the one at Fairhope, there was nowhere to run. Basically, you had to go.
No.
If a train was coming at you, you had to go into the ditch.
Exactly. And I think down I told 15, you this.
Down a 15-foot ledge into the ditch.
Yeah. And I think I've told you this before, but when we were kids in Auburn and Mac and Jim and I were fearless, you know, we would go out with our army helmets on and in our canteens to win the world over. And we would go to that track, that railroad track between Mary's and Aunt Mary's in downtown. And every once in a while, there would be one of those work carts on there, you know, that you push pull.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would get on that thing and go for miles and then turn around and come back without ever knowing what time the train was coming or anything. We would have had to do the same thing. We were like, what would we do if the train was coming? Jim would say, oh, we'd just jump off. Right.
Well,
luckily a train never came.
We were all okay. It's amazing.
We're all still here. Oh, so okay. So let's talk a little bit about communication.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, definitely. So Dad left to Vietnam or to Tech Lee, and you were
Ubon.
Ubon. And tell me how you were able to communicate with him or what that was like.
The only way we could communicate was writing letters. The only reason I got to talk to him when Billy was born was because the Red Cross did that when, you know, there were births or deaths or something. So,
and was
yeah,
that was that like a person at the Selma Hospital, or was that like who made that connection possible?
You know, I have no idea, but I would guess that they had some kind of arrangement, you know, for military personnel. And we wrote pretty much almost every day. It took 2 or 3 weeks for the mail to get there or get here. So it was always old news. It was, yeah, when you look back on it, it was archaic. You couldn't call on the phone. You couldn't call from Thailand to the States. There was no way for them to do that. So it was by shortwave radio or whatever they call it, you know, one way communication.
And when did you get the cassette thing that was that during that?
We could do the cassette thing. You're exactly right. And I'm trying to remember. It was not the first time your dad was in Vietnam. I think it was the second time. When they had come out with those little cassettes and we could record a cassette and then send it, which of course took two weeks.
No, I remember from those conversations because you were talking in those conversations about being pregnant with Billy and about me not wanting to go to preschool
So we did have them then. And you know what? We did have them when we were, of course, when your dad went to, Talk Lee, because that's when I made all those cool tapes that everybody loved. But I don't think we had them the
Franny's
first time.
Franny's mixtapes?
Yeah. Franny's mixtapes, yeah.
Wish I could get my hands on one of those.
It's not unlike the Yacht Rock tape, which is probably why I love that one so much. A lot of Horse with No Name and let's see. Anyway, I had some great songs on there that were very relevant. So that was fun. You know, that was a way to like hear their voice and sort of feel like you were in touch in a more realistic way than, you know, a written letter. Although, you know, at the time, a written letter was a great thing. So,
yeah,
it was. Yeah.
And you are still continuing to write in addition to sending tapes when you could, I imagine.
Yeah. 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 So it's just, I know you've seen MASH and a lot of those old war movies, but mail call is a big deal. It was a big deal to me too. And, you know, there would be times when probably a ship wasn't going or something got stalled or something and you wouldn't get mail for 5 or 7 days. And then all of a sudden you'd get 7 letters at the same time. And, you know, after 3 or 4 days without mail, you'd be like, what's, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? What's, but yeah. So to think that those soldiers in Afghanistan and the Middle East and all over the world now can get on the computer it's like such a unrealistic thing, something I can't imagine, you know.
Well, so I presume you sent pictures of Billy to Dad, and then I'd be curious, when was the first time Dad got to see Billy? That's when he came for Christmas.
When he came at Christmas, in 1974. So.
And that was on a leave from Vietnam. He came directly from Tac Lee to Montgomery, and then...
He came directly from Ubon to Montgomery.
Ubon, okay.
And was there for, I think, like a week, and then flew back, so...
Okay.
You know, if you have a death or a birth or something like that, you can take what they call emergency leave, which he applied for and got.
And I know you just said it, but I'm sorry. And he was there for what, 2 weeks, you said, 2 or 3 weeks?
No, like probably 10 days, I'm guessing.
Okay. Wow.
I think he had 2 weeks, and that included travel time, which took 2 days to get there and 2 days to get back. So.
And that must have been so weird for him, just dropping into America for 10 days and then back. Did he just take it all in stride, or was it I guess in those days, did you even think about the weirdness of it, or was it like?
Not really, because we had done it so many times before, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, don't let me lead you to believe that it was normal. It's always weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good too. It's let's just say there's always an adjustment period, right?
Gotcha. So then when was the first place that we all four lived together? Billy was born, and we lived at Fairhope with Grandma and Granddad for
until
some
April.
Months, or
until Dad April. Came back in April, which would have been 4 months later. And then we packed up everything. We had the military had moved the stuff that we wanted to have moved to Fairhope. And so then they came in and packed up what we were moving at that time. The rest of our stuff was in storage, and we moved to Burke. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We bought the station wagon. That Malibu station wagon.
I have vivid memories.
We towed the Volkswagen.
Okay, I don't remember that part, but I have vivid memories of the sequence of car dealerships that we were at, and that heat, and the adults
miserable.
Doing their thing, and driving around in cars, and then driving that home. I remember it was an exciting day. I don't remember if it was the same era, but similar to when we bought the Snapper, I have very vivid memories of that day too.
Absolutely. Your dad and I sneaking around to buy the Snapper.
Both hot days granddad. Of shopping all over Selma.
They've improved communication as well as car buying.
Yes. Although that I can tell you from recent experience, that's still not that great.
but better
car
than it was.
Okay, so we landed in Burke, and then that was... And I went to kindergarten that following fall of 75.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, and Billy, I guess it would be a couple of years before he would be doing Akatink Academy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Akatink Academy. Yeah, I think he started Akatink Academy when he was 3.
Okay. Yeah. So we were in Burke for
3 years.
3 or 4 years? 3 years? Okay.
Yeah. Well, and then after your dad died, we stayed an extra year. So, yeah, I guess we were there from...
Yeah, I was there
so
through
third
grade.
It would have been spring of 75. And then we left in 79, so...
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, that's...
And Laura was born, obviously, in September of 77, which we will get to in our next podcast.